Welcome to Brave Together podcast here on UK Health Radio, an empowering resource for the parents of children with disabilities, neurodivergence, and all unique needs.
That's something we talk about a lot on the podcast is how it's not going to necessarily get easier. I mean, it certainly could, and we hope it does. The only thing I can guarantee you is it's going to change. It will not be the same. Every stage of your child's life and your life, something is going to change. And it might actually be harder, but it's not going to be the same.
Hello, Bravies. I am your host for this episode, Susanna Peace Lavelle, author, life coach, and advocate for disability families. And as always, I am joined by my co-host, Jessica Pate, brave mom and founder of the nonprofit We Are Brave Together. Today's episode, number 243, is a very special collaboration between the Brave Together podcast and the podcast, Moms Talk Autism. We are welcoming Natasha and Brittany, two of the hosts of Moms Talk Autism, for a meaningful, honest conversation about what podcasting has given us as mothers and what we've learned from sitting with hundreds of caregiving stories over the years. Together, we reflect on how building community, especially during seasons of isolation, has been life-changing, how vulnerability opens the door to deeper connection, and why sharing our stories helps other parents feel less alone. We also talk openly about grief as a continuous, cyclical journey for caregivers, the everyday moments that can unexpectedly bring it to the surface, and the importance of making space for both joy and heartache to coexist. This conversation also honors the unique perspectives dads bring to caregiving, the balance between professional insight and lived experience, and the quiet resilience that grows when we remember we're doing this together. This episode is about connection, community, and the power of telling the truth about this journey, even when it is hard. We truly believe you're going to feel seen, understood, and reminded that you are not alone. Just a quick reminder to please rate and review this podcast, share episodes with your friends, follow us on social media, and check out our episodes posted weekly on our We Are Brave Together YouTube channel. And now, please enjoy this warm and fuzzy, heartfelt conversation with the hosts of Moms Talk Autism.
Hi guys, it's so good to see you, Tosh and Brittany.
Hi. I cannot believe it took us three times to get to this recording, guys.
We wouldn't be podcasters if it didn't take us this many times.
Yeah. Well, good to see your faces. We are really happy to have this time with you and to reflect as podcasters and as moms, as podcasters, to talk about what we've learned from all the different amazing people that we've gotten to talk to. And then just all, I know you all do conversation, a lot of conversations with the four of you for Moms Talk Autism. And so I'm sure there's a million reflections there. I love so much of what we get to learn from each other. And it's just opened up my mind and my heart.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. It's changed my life.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, I do. I think back to even when the girls and I first met, and it's incredible to see what has transpired since then, you know, and just where I was at personally as a mom to an autistic child and in that journey alone. And then now to be podcasting about it and who am I? What do I know? But here we are.
For our audience, I would love for you, Tosh or Brittany, to talk about the origin of Moms Talk Autism. How did you meet? How did you decide to do this podcast? When did it begin?
So we all met during the pandemic online. We were all searching for different reasons and probably some of the same reasons for connection, some kind of break from the isolation and frustration and, you know, fear that we were all feeling during that time. This was probably right during the height of it when things were super, super locked down. Mm-hmm. And we, it was a very large group when we started out. It was through Instagram. and we were just chatting, texting each other through DMs and things. And so there wasn't any face to face. There wasn't really any, you just kind of saw a name on your screen and it was a little impersonal, but it was getting something accomplished and we were trying to connect. And then our dear Tosh here wanted to take a social media break and get off of Instagram. And so we said, okay, well, what about, has anyone tried this app, Marco Polo? And so we're like, oh yeah, let's give it a shot. And we lost a few along the way because it's scary to put yourself on a video chat instead of just a texting. It's a little different. It's a little vulnerable, right? But a few of us got on, and eventually as we started chit-chatting and talking and really connecting, and it got real deep, real fast, and people were poloing in their pajamas in bed and with face masks on and changing in front of each other. And it just kind of, all inhibitions went out the window. And we were showing our kids on there, talking about the kids, really diving into our struggles, our fears, our isolation, all those things, and the good things too, the mm-hmm. things that we could find in common with each other and our situations. And it really developed into a deep friendship very, very quickly. And as it continued, more people would drop out for a variety of reasons, completely legitimate. It didn't fit what they needed at the time. And it just came down to the four of us. And so now there's four of us. Now there's Tosh and myself and Jean and Shannon. And we all live in different states in the U.S. And we all have neurotypical and neurodivergent children of various ages and genders and things. There's still so much common ground that we all have with each other. And it's the things that we connect with that we can relate to, but also the things that are different enough that we can maybe help each other with. Cause we can, mm-hmm. we understand the situation, but yet we're not in that particular situation. So we can kind of almost view it from an outsider's perspective, but with the knowledge of being a special needs parent ourselves. And so we can really kind of help each other out quite a little bit. And we just found that as we were helping each other and really feeling connected and validated and more ourselves, that we're like, man, we feel like we need to share this with other mm-hmm. people. We want other people to feel like we do, because this is good. It's not solving all of our problems. This is still really, really hard. But we're feeling like we can, at least we're up for the challenge now. We can do this, because we have each other. And so, yeah, that's why we started recording ourselves talking on a podcast.
Brittany does the very lovely, polished version of this.
Oh, I want to hear yours.
Real talk Tosh over here. Hey, it's me.
Give me the nitty gritty. She's going to give you the real scoop. Go.
It was down and dirty, like, quick. Like there was no, all inhibitions out the window. And then even just, I would say, and then especially with our kiddos and those moments of, meltdowns and really just really big stuff that we were sharing, and this is obviously Marco Polo is a private app. Only mm-hmm. the invited group can see. Right. But where we were real and we were showing that just what we were in. And we were immediately supportive to each other immediately. Yeah. And it wasn't until a year later that we actually met in person. These girls all came up to Oregon. There was other inhibitions thrown out the window due to maybe a few, things. And that's when we jokingly, this was not as serious, said, let's start a podcast. Yeah. And then somehow it became real.
We didn't really have any grand expectations about where it was going to go or what was going to happen. Once we started the podcast, we just felt like, well, maybe somebody else could benefit from hearing mm-hmm. other moms out there who may or may not be in a similar situation. And it turns out there's a lot of us out there who really need to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And they need to hear other people's stories, and they need to feel like there's somebody out there who just understands at least mm-hmm. a little bit about what you're going through. Yeah. And that's why we keep going. And the feedback and the responses we get from our audience and from other moms out there, it's just been so gratifying. And it's what keeps us going.
Yes, it does.
I love this so much because I feel like, what do they say? That necessity is the mother of invention, right? Yeah. So like the need, that really deep you know, inner desire of wanting to connect so vulnerably and just transparently. And can we just get it out? Otherwise it's in here. And sometimes we can't even talk to our significant others about things or our siblings, yeah. whatever it is. Yes. So there's no judgment. There's no shame. I love what you all stand for.
I think it's important to remember and keep in mind that someone else may not be ready for that. It's a step towards this place where you can feel really, really comfortable and willing to share, you know, scary and maybe intimate or just hard
life things. Yeah,
just right. hard things that maybe most people aren't going to be able to understand unless you live it yourself.
Yeah, I would say too, we talk to so many people, they're like, we just want what the four of you have, you know, and it's like, well, anybody can start a podcast. But, you know, that is the great thing about, I think, starting this podcast is that not only have the four of us stayed strong together, but then we have met so many incredible people like Jessica and Susanna and just like the world that it's opened us up to even mm-hmm. broader than, mm-hmm. you know, our audience. So yeah, sometimes you have to do scary things. You have to not just dip the toe in the pond. You gotta just
dive in.
Dive in. Just dive in. Yeah.
Brittany, I love your compassionate validation for those who aren't ready maybe to dive deep and share it all and open up. And that's true. I think that is true. There are people who are afraid to open up. And I also want to say that vulnerability, even if you just do it in baby doses, micro doses, leads to connections. It leads to really sweet and beautiful and helpful connections with other people. And really, that goes for anybody on this planet, you know, not just, you know, moms not in the disability community or parents. Or caregivers, it goes for everyone. And we all need people in our life who get us and get our stories, who have similar either chronic hardships, crisis, loss, trauma, accidents, whatever it is, death, divorce, you know, we all need people in our life who understand us and understand what we're going through. Is there something that stands out to you about the strength that you see, the resilience that you see, the humor that you see some parents just find in their story, perspective or priorities or just how their lives have completely changed?
I would for sure say a lot of the personal stories, we call them community stories that we've done, where we have talked to those parents who have gone before us, you know, who have children that are in their maybe adult age, and just kind of hearing their perspective, right? Because our community, I think, is the majority parents that are in the midst of diagnoses and that beginning phase. And when you're in that, it's traumatic. I mean, you know, every day is traumatic in a new way and every new region is traumatic, but it's, I would say, helpful to hear that it doesn't get necessarily easier or better, but it just changes and it, mm-hmm. and it does change for, I guess, the better, you know, we have so many hopeful stories that we hear from people and they're still in it and they're still going through hard stuff, but it does change and life changes. And you as the caregiver, you as the parent, you change, you know, and mm-hmm. that's mm-hmm. The biggest part of it.
That's something we talk about a lot on the podcast is how it's not going to necessarily get easier. I mean, it certainly could, and we hope it does, but it will. The only thing I can guarantee you is it's going to change. It will not be the same. Every stage mm-hmm. of your child's life and your life, something is going to change, and it might actually be harder, but it's not going to be the same. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's the mundane everyday life, like the years are fast, but the days are long kind of deal. When you're really stuck in a rut of just the same thing, when you've watched that, you know, Coco Melon episode 15 million times. And you're just like, this is never going to change. You are lying to me. No, I promise it will change. Something will change. And it will, more, and it's going to change you. And I think that's what we really drew a lot of strength from, and what we continue to draw a lot of strength from not only our little co-host group of the four of us, but as we meet other people in the community, is our resolve and our ability to handle difficult situations has maybe gotten better because we've exercised some of these muscles and we are stronger because of it. Our problems are not going away. I have a fresh new set of problems that just started over the last 3 weeks. Super fun. Medical insurance and a medication. I'm trying to get it, you know, approved. And it's been, I'm not even through the journey. I am in it right now. And this is something I haven't had to deal with before. This is a new thing for me. I've been a mom for 21 plus years, and this is a new situation. So it's changed and I'm learning some new skills, right now. But I'm not, maybe 10 years ago, or maybe even 5 years ago, I would have been pretty frustrated a lot sooner trying to figure out this medication thing. I am drawing a lot of strength from that, and I'm not as quick to maybe crumble because of my past experiences. So
we are going to take a brief break. Stay with us.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Brave Together podcast.
But yeah, I find a lot of strength from those community stories of people that we've been chatting with and meeting. I love it when we meet a professional in the field of, you know, disability in whatever capacity that is, but they also are a parent to a disabled child. That
it's
combination
like cherry,
is
cherry
like
on top. Yeah,
perfect. And the one thing, we've met fitness experts, you know, OTs, speech therapists, doctors, people involved in all sorts of different capacities of helping, you know, whatever that disability is. Every single one of these people, they've usually been a professional first, like they've gotten their degree, they're in their career, and then they have a child, and that child is diagnosed with something. And they, every single one of them has said, I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I was giving good advice. I thought I understood this, whatever this is, this field I'm in. I knew nothing. Now that I'm a parent, I feel like I'm starting all over again, and I am shocked to be on this other level of like understanding on this side of, you know, whatever this disability is as the primary caretaker. And it's not because I take like some kind of weird joy out of like, ha ha, now you understand, because that's not what it is. Right. But it's just so enlightening to maybe as the caretaker understand that a professional is a professional, and that's great. But unless you mm-hmm. really, really live this, unless you're a parent yourself or a mm-hmm. caretaker yourself of some capacity, it's just a different dynamic and perspective. And it's important to have both of those kinds of aspects in your life. You need the professionals, yes. but you also just need the parents. You need people who are going through it like you are.
I mean, that's why in We Are Brave Together, you know, all of our connection circle leaders, they are caregivers.
Yes.
All of our retreat speakers, workshop leaders, this or that, you know, people that we've had, they're all caregivers. And they all know exactly what we're going through. They have street credibility, so to speak. And they're just the right person to be there to guide that circle or guide that weekend, because they know what you know, our moms need.
Thank you to all the professionals out there. I will always give all the gratitude for that. But again, it does go back to really building that personal connection community, you know, those other people that are walking this journey with you, whether they're in it at the same time frame or they've gone before you, whatever it might be, because those are our people.
I think that sort of takes us back to when our kiddos were first diagnosed and we're in sort of, you know, deer in the headlight mode, and we're sitting in those first therapy rooms with other parents who are also, you know, eyes wide open, and just realizing, like, wow, what do I do next?
I would love for someone to tell me what to do. Yeah. Like, yes. give me the checklist. I am the queen. I will do everything on there way, you know, above and beyond, but that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and yeah. I think too, listening to our, you know, listening to this with, it doesn't have to be, you know, diagnosis and then run out and do all the therapies all at once, you know, which is kind of how it's still, even to this day, presented to people, you know, and it is so gratifying hearing from professionals and from, you know, just caregivers, parents that no, you don't need to do that. You don't need to cause yourself any more stress or trauma on top of what you're already walking through with this diagnosis, you know? So again, they're so important. The professionals are so important, but you know,
we always say it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. I'm sure you guys have heard that before.
Yes, marathons,
many marathons back to back. And it really is true. It sounds a little cliche. It sounds a little silly, but it's, I cannot emphasize how true that really, really is. It's a long distance race. It's a long distance life, and you need to view it as such. And sometimes you really, really need to hone in and zoom in and focus on one thing right now. And really, you know, like I'm doing with my insurance company right now, but then as soon as I'm done with that, as soon as we've found some kind of resolution, and I know I will, I need to zoom out again and then take a look at the big picture. Mm-hmm. And not only for my child who is disabled, but for my family, for the whole dynamic of the family. It's not just about this one person, or in my case, I have two with disabilities. And it's hard to do that. It's hard to zoom out like that and give and feel like I can, okay, you know what? I know that you really need a lot of 24/7 care and all these things, and I really have to pay attention to you, and that's great, but your brother over here needs me right now. So we're going to set this aside, this therapy, this whatever, and I'm going to focus on this kid for a minute, and you're going to be okay. You're going to be fine. And we're going to make it work as a family. And that's a hard juggling act for caregivers of any, you know, of any family, but especially ours. I think it's really interesting. I find it fascinating to have the father or the dad perspective, the male perspective of our situation. Cause it is, my husband and I are very much a team. I know Tosh and her husband are as well. We tackle everything together. I mean, we have jobs and we have things that maybe we have more hands than ourselves personally, but when it comes right down to it, we're very connected and we're trying to do this as a team and work together, and we'll tag team and like, I need a break and all that kind of stuff. And it's wonderful. And not everybody has that. And we're very, very lucky to have a supportive partner who's in everything with us. But it's interesting, even though my husband and I are very connected and we communicate a lot, his perspective on the same situation or the same therapy or the same conversation I had with the doctor are very, very different. And not necessarily in a bad way, but just kind of in a fascinating psychological way. I'm like, I did not pick up on that vibe or whatever he said with this or whatever, you know, that's not what I chose to focus on. And it's, so I find it, I love it when we interview the dads, because I learn more about maybe my own husband and how he would maybe, you know, assess a situation with my son, for instance. So.
Yeah. Agreed. I agree. It's very hard to be in the moment with your significant other. Again, like Brittany said, though we work so great together as a team, and where one has, you know, strength, the other one maybe lacks, and
yes, for
back
sure,
and forth. But it is good hearing another dad's perspective, even if he's nothing like my husband, but just coming from that view, you know, and it's like, oh, okay.
I can see where you're coming from. I can see how that could be for you and how that would work for you. And I know maybe dads and men in general don't need as much connection and validation in this type of world as we do. I'm sure there are many who do. And I know personally men who do, but that's maybe not as top of a priority as it is for myself, for instance. And I'm speaking in general terms, of course, but it's just still kind of fascinating. And I think it's really good for us to hear. It's good for dads to be able to share their perspective as well. So
is there anything that you wish dads could hear? You know, if there are any dads listening to today's episode, is there anything that you wish you could say to dads to encourage them based on the conversations that you've had with your own partners or based on conversations that you've had with dads on the podcast?
I would just say we are, you know, as male and female, and mom and dad, you know, caretakers, we are walking through the same thing, but we're walking through it at a very different angle. Hats off to the women who are working and who are caregiving and all of the above, because I could not even imagine. But just as the mom, the load that we carry as a mom. There's not even words to explain it. The worry, the constant being in it, the emotional breakdown of not only what's happening to our child, but what's happening to us watching our child walk through these things. There's so much constantly. Mm-hmm. So much constantly. And I'm not saying that a dad gets to just walk away from that and be away, you know, and they deal with it in their own different way. But as the mom, it's deep. It's deeper.
Maybe another aspect or another way to view it is that we grieve very differently.
Yes. Mm.
And we process the hardships or the setbacks or the, you know, the challenges differently. And that is can certainly be a dad-mom dynamic or whatever your partner is, but it's also just a personality thing. It's both of those things together that can kind of really, so regardless of your partner situation, if you have different personalities, you're going to grieve differently. You're going to process information differently, and you're going to approach a problem or a challenge differently. And so I think it's important to not dismiss your partner's, the amount of time that they can take to maybe sit with something, especially if you're receiving news from, you know, I'm thinking specifically about a diagnosis, right? Or mm-hmm. some kind of new piece of medical information or therapeutic information that's going to change things, you know, in some way for your family, because that seems to happen a lot to our families and whatever age that is. And so you have to wrap your head around it. And sometimes that means going through the five stages of grief, that process again. And maybe you don't go through every single stage like you did the last time. Maybe you skip a couple. Maybe you're sitting in depression or anger or whatever it is for a longer period of time, but you got to work through that. And I know Tosh and I have had multiple episodes completely focused on this topic and about how we grieved versus how our partners mm-hmm. grieved and how that can really, and you have to be supportive and understanding, and maybe you don't understand completely because you're not grieving the same way, but you've got to give them space to do it. And I think that's really important. If there's any dads out there who are maybe struggling and understand, like, well, I don't know why she's still so upset about this or really just like hyper-focused on this one thing. Well, we're trying to process through it.
So that's something that we all talk about on our podcast. We've certainly had, you know, experts in this arena, but we just talk about it a lot as, you know, caregivers and how our grief buttons can get pushed really throughout our child's lifetime. It's not
anytime,
a one
really.
And done.
No.
You know, it can happen at any time for any reason. What's something that you have learned about grief, all three of you? Susanna, I'll start with you. As a parent, as a caregiver, you know, I always say, let's talk about it, talk about it, talk about it, because let's normalize it. It's not, yes. It's not something, like I said, where it's one and done, really, for any loss. You know, I've lost my mom, I've lost my sister. It's not one and done. And then in our world as caregiving moms, it's also not something you get over. So Susanna, what bit of wisdom have you gleaned from your own journey and from talking to people on the podcast about grief and how this comes up from time to time?
Yeah. Well, I think, I know for me personally, in my own experience, grief for me is just right under the surface. I'm very high functioning in this lifetime. Okay. And I have done so much work in processing through my feelings and my emotions. And I believe that, you know, emotions are messengers for us to let us know what to focus on, or an opportunity for us to learn or glean some information about ourselves to move forward and hopefully transform and grow and reach a thriving point. And, you know, I find myself in just, it's in when I put my guards down, Brittany, like you were talking about, like, I'm just going to allow myself to breathe for a second. You know, literally I will just breathe for a second and something will come up. And I know how important it is for me to release that in whatever way I can in that moment. And I see that, you know, when we're interviewing guests, professionals, I love the community, what do you call them? Community members?
Community stories.
Beautiful. Yes. It's like my heart just cracks wide open with compassion when I hear these stories. And I feel like that gives me and allows me the opportunity to allow myself or allow me in some way to turn that compassion towards inwards, you know, toward me, which I'm the last on my list. Even though I do this work so consciously and I'm so focused on. So I just feel like we are all going through something. I think, you know, no two stories are the same. Like, you can meet someone in the wild, right? Like, oh, you're autism mom. I see you. And even again, like Brittany, when we were talking before, like, we both have these older kiddos now. I have a daughter who's 19. You have a son, I think, who is also.
Yes, 19.
19. And yet, and we are both, yes, technically autism mamas, right? And our challenges are so different.
Yeah.
Right? Right. Yeah. Like, stop talking, right? To mine.
And mine's like, please talk. Please tell me what you need. Anything, please. Yeah.
Right. But our body probably feels that same. Like, yes. I'm so worried. I'm so anxious. Like, I don't know what you're going to say to strangers on the street, you know, and you are still sort of, you don't really know how to move through the world. So, I, you know, this is sort of a long-winded way to say that I believe that grief is, you know, it's a part of our construct. It is part of my construct. I feel like it is also cyclical. I feel like sometimes, you know, if the holidays are rolling around or a particular milestone of my friends who have same age kids are coming along, like, oh, everyone's going off to college. Where's your daughter? Yo, your daughter, right? Well, it's not going to look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch. You know, because I remember I had a dream of a vision that is not exactly what my life is looking at like right now.
We are going to take a brief break. Stay with us.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy. But every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at a special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Brave Together podcast.
I love that, Susanna. I'm just going to piggyback on your Capricorn energy here.
Yes, that's right.
I absolutely agree with that. I feel like I have done all the work, right? I'm not done, but for a very long time in my life, from a very young age, I've been doing the hard work, and loss before even, you know, our son Jack's diagnosis, you know, the loss of his twin brother and how that rocked my world and all the work that I did from that. So then when that diagnosis came around, I wasn't the one who needed the support as much as like my husband did, going back to that conversation of, you know, being in different places. But I would say that that is the one thing that has allowed me to give myself that grace and that, you know, that like credit of like, I give all this empathy and sympathy to other people that are maybe walking a similar path as me. And then I don't necessarily do that to myself as often as I should, you know? And sometimes it is just a little moment and we are, you know, screaming at our kiddos, me screaming at my kiddos. And then I lose it. I lose it because I realize I'm not upset with them. Mm-hmm. I'm in a stage right now that I'm grieving something much bigger, and this is the moment. This is the straw that broke the camel's back, right? But I'm allowing myself to lay down on the bed and just cry and just go through my mind and all of the, you know, all of that ADHD brain in there that's just spiraling in all these different directions of different mm-hmm. thoughts of grief and upset and sadness and all the things. But I allow that more often now with myself, you know.
And that's what's so great about having your people, right? Is sometimes they can see it and they can sense it before you do. And they, if you're comfortable enough, if you've gone deep and you've made that connection, you'll call them out.
Yes.
And I'll say, Tosh.
Yes.
Tosh.
I'm going to cry right now.
I'll be like, yeah. I know what you're doing. Okay. Yeah. I know what you're doing and you need to, this is what's happening. So let's talk this through, or what do you need to do today? Or do I need to call Tyler and tell him you need a break or whatever it is? Right. And she'll do the same thing to me. Mm-hmm. I've been called out so many times. And it's exactly, and sometimes it hurts and sometimes you get mad and sometimes you fight back a little.
I love you, but you're a liar.
Yeah. But then you take a minute and you think about it. And you're like, okay, no way. She's right. She's right. Yeah. And it makes all the difference in the world. For me, grief is, I've used this analogy before. I like analogies. I like, metaphors. Grief is an ocean for me. I don't love the ocean. I don't love the water. Not my favorite. I love to look at it. Don't like to be in it. But guess what? I'm in the ocean because it's surrounding me everywhere. I'm just waiting in the water right there, right? My head's out of the water, but I'm rolling with the tide. And that's, but I'm still in grief. I'm still grieving because it's always there. It's part of my life. And, you know, I'm holding my head up. I'm okay. And then out of nowhere, a wave will crash over my head. Mm-hmm. And I'm drowning, and it comes out of left field. I'm in the grocery store one day and I see a neurotypical kid who's at the same school as my daughter, and she's having this full-on conversation with her mom about this boy that she likes, because that's what she should be doing when she's 11 and 12 years old. And my daughter, we are not even close to that yet. And it just wallops me, and there's a wave over my head, and the grief just comes and it consumes me. And I didn't do anything. The other family didn't do anything. It's not their fault. It just came. Mm-hmm. And then I have to come with my own mechanisms and my you know, experiences I've had of how to get my head back up above the water. But that doesn't mean I get to get out. I'm still there, and I always will be in some capacity. And that's part of the grieving process, is that acceptance, right? Is knowing, no, this is where I am and this is where I will be. Mm-hmm. But I still get to be happy.
Yes.
I still get to have good times. I still get to enjoy the experience, because it's beautiful out here in the ocean. There's wonderful things around me. I'm still in the ocean, but you know, it's okay. It's okay. And when I'm not drowning, I need to find that happiness and that peace and that joy and that connection in my life. So
I find myself saying again and again that I live a life where joy and gratitude and heartache coexist.
Yeah. Inside Out, the movie, all the way, yeah. All the emotions together. I love that movie. That's what it is.
It is. And it's okay. Like, we want, you know, our parents who are listening out there to know that it's okay. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you or that you think less of your child because you grieve the life that, you know, the hard struggles that they might have, the hard struggles that your family might have, the hard struggles that you might have, the milestones that may not be reached or are reached so late, or what have you. Whatever it is that pushes the grief button, it's okay. And you are okay. And this is perfectly normal. And we just learn to accept that it's both. It's both. They both live, they coexist together, you know, the happy times and the tearful times. And it's so okay.
And when I'm drowning like that, when my head's under the water and I'm trying to kick back to the surface, guess what I'm doing? I'm building those muscles. I'm kicking and I'm growing and I'm learning. I'm getting stronger doing that. It's not fun. I wish I didn't have to do it. But look who I am now compared to who I was, you know, before I met these wonderful women and got involved in these communities. Like, I think, Tosh, am I a better person? Am I stronger? Am I doing better than I was when I first met you?
Brittany's the same, but vastly different.
Yeah.
The same, but vastly different. There's been so much growth in
all of us.
In all of us. Yes. Yeah.
And we're not done. I don't want anyone to think like we've reached this wonderful place and it's all sunshine and rainbows. No, not even close.
Right.
No. But we're doing it together. Mm-hmm. And we can't necessarily always push each other up from the bottom of the ocean, but I can definitely wave over at her and we could talk about it as we're both bobbing along, right? And that makes a difference.
We're doing it together. We're doing it together.
I was going to say, and for anyone out there, I run a connection circle group in Los Angeles, and we meet every other month in person. In the in-person sessions, which are just the time of my life, so life-giving, which, by the way, I also feel about this conversation right now.
Yes.
I just feel like I'm being infused with life-giving love and acceptance and honoring and cherishing from all of you. So I appreciate that so much. I need it. You know, we have these connection circles where, you know, the moms always apologize before they get emotional, right? Mm. You know, and I never want to tell someone what to do, but I'm like, stop right there. You know, I'm sorry. I don't mean to cry. We're all here holding each other. What better place? So yeah, the community together, so grateful, right?
Yeah. I want to point out too, I think it's really, really important. Like, we have this podcast, right? We both have podcasts, and this is an adjacent social media kind of platform. It's through your phone. It's through your computer, however you listen to the podcast. And that's wonderful. And it's important. And it's amazing how many people we can reach using this kind of platform. It's so accessible. And a lot of the times it's free or very, very, you know, little amount of money to be able to access this kind of connection and this kind of meeting of other like-minded people. And you're using Zooms for your connection circle or however you guys meet, you know, once a month or every other month. But then you also meet in person. And I think you need both. It's really, really important. We talk a lot about diversifying your friendship portfolio.
I love that.
and how you need in-person people. You need people who are online. You need people who have the exact same diagnosis as your child, or are the exact same age as your child, or going through whatever thing you're going through, that therapy or whatever it is. You also need somebody who's maybe the same age as you, who maybe has different kids at different ages or different diagnoses. You need someone who lives locally, who understands the county program you're working with, or the teachers, or whatever it is. You need all of it. If you can have all of those things together, and it's not going to be perfect, and it's not going to be, but try to have a balance of all those different areas, then your support system is so much stronger.
I agree. I love how you said that. Diversifying your friendship portfolio.
Yeah.
So true. It's so critical. It reminds me of Laura Tremaine's book, The Life Council. And she talks about her 10 best friends, sort of think of it like a board of directors, but they all have different roles. Like your work bestie, your fellow obsessive bestie. So if you're both obsessed with true crime, you have that friend that you can talk to. You have parenting best friend. You have whatever it is. I love that, because we need different people and their strengths and their gifts and their area, and we're that for other people. Let us be that for other people as well.
When you feel supported enough and you feel like you are in a place where your head's above the water, then you're able to turn around and maybe look and see who else is around you then. And you're able to give something back. If you're drowning, you can't be there for anybody else. And so that's maybe like the next, and that's where we find the most joy too. I think Tosh would agree. Is we're in a place, at least sometimes, where we can reach out and look around and see who else we can help and who else we can support. And there's a lot of satisfaction and joy and personal growth that happens there as well. And it has nothing to do with maybe our personal situation.
This and so much more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's so true. Any parting thoughts or stories or nuggets from doing the podcasting thing?
Podcasting is hard. it seems easy when I listen to my favorite podcasts. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. They're doing but now that I'm in it and I'm behind the scenes, just like with anything, right? I'm sure it's with TV production or a movie or writing a book or whatever it is. You see all the work that goes in behind it. It's like the duck, floating on the top of the water. Those legs are kicking furiously underneath the water. There's a lot of work to make a podcast, and it's not for free, even though it's free for you maybe to listen to, it's not free to make it. And I'm not saying that because I want sympathy or I want somebody to pay me or anything like that. I'm just letting people know that you could pay me a little bit. That's fine. Just saying. I'll send you my Venmo later, but the idea that we are doing this because it's worth it. And it's the money, but the time I think is even more of a sacrifice, I would say. Wouldn't you say, Tosh? The amount of time, if you want to produce something and really get your words out there and feel like you're connecting with people in a way that is somewhat polished, there's some time that you have to put in to make it work and to make it palatable, to find those guests, to find those other moms out there, to be able to have a conversation like this and set it up. And then the post-production work, and then getting the episode out there for people to listen. It's work. And I don't know, we're doing that. We're going to continue to do it because it's worth it to us. It's worth it for us to have you hear these stories and to be able to hear our stories, and it's worth it for us to maybe share more than we would, and kind of put some of our things out there publicly. It's been worth it to us to do that. And if you're still on the fence and wondering if I should open up and connect with people, I mean, I'm telling you, it's worth it. Do it. And not necessarily on a podcast, but just in your own life. Do it on a smaller scale.
Wherever it is, social media or at church, joining a group, wherever it is, your story is important. And your story is valid, and your story is going to help somebody else. Maybe it doesn't help the sea of a million people out there, but your story is important, and somebody needs to hear it, and somebody needs to connect with it. So stop being your own worst critic, and know that you are worthy. You are valid, and somebody out there needs you.
I think it's just an amazing investment of our time, our energy, our expertise, our lived experience as moms.
Yes.
You know, extreme caregiver. So.
I'm in a group, a social media group, and it is called Extreme Caregiving.
Yeah, exactly.
And I talk to those ladies every day.
I agree. It's worth it. It's worth every moment, every ounce of energy or expense of time or financially to put this out there so that moms or parents can feel less alone. Thank you so much, Tosh and Brittany, for sharing yourselves and your experiences with us. This has been really, really wonderful.
Thank you for having us. It's an honor.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
And for all of you out there listening, just remember, we see you and we love you.
Thanks so much for listening today on UK Health Radio. Do us a favor and leave us a review and a rating so that this podcast can get into the ears and the hearts of more and more moms. Did you know that Brave Together podcast is an extension of our nonprofit organization, We Are Brave Together? We Are Brave Together serves an international community of caregiving moms, offering support groups that are virtual and in-person, educational resources, and low-cost weekend retreats. And we have published our first anthology of caregiving stories entitled Becoming Brave Together, Heroic, Extraordinary Caregiving Stories from Mothers Hidden in Plain Sight. It will encourage and validate every parent caregiver. To join us today, go to wearebravetogether.org. Our support and sisterhood awaits you. Brave Together podcast is for entertainment and education purposes only. It's not a substitute for professional care and should not be relied on for medical or mental health advice. The use of any content on our podcasts, links, show notes, or on our website is to be done at your own personal risk. Please seek out a professional to assess your own medical or mental health concerns, because we are all beautifully complex and the content of this podcast is for a broad audience.